Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pujamane mayi, pujamane mayi tam, shudham bhagavatim tanum, aradya karma nirvano, nayapatat panchabhautika. Having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of five material elements, and thus all acquired, fruit of results of work, karma, stopped. Purport, informed by the personality of Godhead that he would be awarded a transcendental body befitting the Lord's association, Narada got his spiritual body as soon as he quitted his material body. This transcendental body is free from material affinity and invested with three primary transcendental qualities, namely eternity, freedom from material modes, and freedom from reactions of fruitive activities. The material body is always afflicted with the lack of these three qualities. A devotee's body becomes at once surcharged with the transcendental qualities as soon as he's engaged in devotional service of the Lord. It acts like the magnetic influence of touchstone upon iron. The influence of transcendental devotional service is like that. Therefore, the change of body means stoppage of the reaction, three qualitative modes of material nature upon the pure devotee. There are many instances of this in the revealed scriptures. Dhruva Maharaj and Pallad Maharaj, many other devotees were able to see the personality of Godhead face to face, apparently, in the same body. This means that the quality of a devotee's body changes from material to transcendent. That is the opinion of the authorized Goswamis via the authentic scriptures. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that beginning from the Indra-Gopa germ to the great Indra, King of Heaven, all living beings are subject to the laws of karma and are bound to suffer and enjoy the fruitive result of their own work. Only the devotee is exempt from such reaction by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Authority, the personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurundasam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Suchaitanya Mano Vishtam Apitam yena bhutale shayam rupadhamayam vidati svapadantikam agadanas samdante idam yache puna puna vinagrupatadam bhoja ulisham jambha janmani vairagya yudhakti visham priyatnai Excuse me, a little cold today. Greetings from New Jersey. Before I begin today, yesterday I read an article that I wanted to share something with you from. It's by a person who teaches a course at Harvard about the non-scientific dimensions of medicine. He goes through, starting with the Bible, various literatures that give some messages about what you can learn from the experience of dealing with suffering as a doctor. You deal with the suffering, you deal with death. And he takes, you know, different authors, Tolstoy and Chekhov and Kafka and all different types of, and goes through and what these authors present that people learn through in terms of doctors, in terms of suffering and death. So, this is really an interesting thing, I thought. It says, the idea that the soul must be cleansed through pain, prevalent in Tolstoy's era, unsettles most of the class. So this idea that pain and suffering cleanses the soul, and he's teaching at Harvard to a modern class, and they kind of challenge that. He said, they wonder whether such extremes of suffering are needed to shock a complacent character out of his narcissism. He says, they wonder whether such extremes of suffering, this is what's presented in these novels of that era, that the soul is cleansed through pain, and they wonder whether such extremes of suffering are needed for this. And then this person says, but I've seen this happen in the clinic again and again. It's the experience of, he says, of people who are doctors and see the transformation of self-absorption that can come from the experience in the world of suffering. Okay, anyway, I'm going to try to finish this story of Narada Muni, either this class, probably the next class, and then go on to one other story. I pretty much feel now that I have a sense that I do have a regular audience, and it's not so necessary to go back again and again. Although putting, even for myself, going back and putting the story in context helps me to understand. You know, after a week, you can forget. But we've gone back many, many times. I don't have to put the story where we're up so much in the context of the whole work. I feel pretty confident I can go on. So I'll just do it in a very, very short way. Just in your minds, if you can think, because we've gone over it, just the main point of this whole story, because obviously it's such a dynamic moment that Narada is speaking to Vyasadeva about his despondency based on his attempts to transmit or communicate the Vedas to his audience at the particular time. So the story, Narada telling the story of his own life, that there's an intent or purpose to that story. So what is the main point? So I just wrote down a sentence myself about that. It says, the best process to advance is chanting and hearing about Krishna, which comes by the association of devotees. This is the message of the Vedas that is most ably presented in the Bhagavatam. So this is, and you can see how the process, you know, by hearing this again and again from different angles, to some extent we begin to realize it, because that's what we're doing. I think in the Upanishads there's a statement of how theoretical knowledge becomes realized knowledge. But at first, it begins with hearing some truth that resonates with you. first you hear it, then you think about it. And in context of your present frame of reference, somehow that truth or the presentation by the teacher resonates with you enough so that you can theoretically understand it. And then by applying that truth, that's called jnana chakshu, by seeing the world through that truth rather than through your present conditioning, doing that enough times, you actually begin to realize or actually see that truth. So it's the same process here. Fortunately, the truth that's being presented in the life of Narada Muni is the effect of hearing and chanting about Krishna under the guidance and association of devotees, and the purificatory effect that it has on one's consciousness. So hopefully, in this class, by hearing that message again and again, presented all throughout the life of Narada Muni, because the process of chanting is it's not that at a beginning process and you go on to something else. It not only brings you to the spiritual world, but it's the activity of the spiritual world. The only difference is that in the spiritual world, here, the practice is sadhana. We're doing that to achieve a goal of devotion. And in the spiritual world, the chanting is the result of devotion. But this chanting and hearing, and we're hearing, and hopefully by my prayer, and I feel this myself because I'm chanting and hearing by giving the class, that by following this process, regularly chanting and hearing, then we not only theoretically understand that, yes, this is the process that will purify our hearts, make us happy, and bring us to transcendence, but we'll actually realize it. Thus the prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Thus the prayeshu badreshu, almost destroyed to nil, abhadra, that which is inauspicious, that which is external to the soul, which is the mood of loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will actually begin to realize that yes, I'm becoming purified by this process. I'm becoming inspired by this process. And before we go on to today's section, I just want to read just one purport from the previous section so we can hear Srila Prabhupada, how nicely he sums this up. Narada Muni being inspired by the Akashvani, the voice of the Supreme Lord, who speaks to him and tells him that if you want to achieve complete perfection so that you can be eternally with me, the reason you're not eternally with me now is you're not complete in service and you have some tainted material attachment. You're attached to the mode of goodness. Therefore, Narada, imbibing that instruction, begins chanting and the name and form of the Supreme Lord without any inhibition, without any attachment. And that's how he begins by hearing the Bhakti Vedantas, and in their association he becomes attached to their nature, which is bhakti, which is demonstrated and exemplified in chanting and hearing about Krishna. Jiva Goswami says that our devotion is our attraction to chanting and hearing. So that's how it begins. And now this is the final push. There's just some small attachment. He's attached to the peacefulness of you know, the forest or wherever he is. And so he's not completely pure. Completely pure. Pure means, I always quote this from Bhagavad Gita, as Prabhupada says, the perfected state of the living entity is called the devotee. When there's nothing in your heart except the desire to please Krishna, you're pure. So there is some take of something else besides that. So you see, at the beginning stage, it was chanting and hearing. And now the perfectional stage, it's chanting and hearing. Except that the quality changes. In the advanced stage of chanting and hearing, evam vrita supriya nama krita, you chant fully, without any attachment, without any inhibition, complete dedication, complete faith, Supriyana, of your beloved Lord, because by chanting and hearing about Krishna, the sense of your spiritual identity awakens within the heart, and then you see and you begin to chant about that sambandha, a relationship that you have with God in a particular manifestation, like Gornitai or Radha and Krishna. So here's Prabhupada's purport. And I really appreciate how he does this throughout, because how he summarizes the process of devotional service through the life of Narada Muni. And several times he does that because the life of the devotee and his progress goes through certain stages. Rupa Goswami outlined them 500 years ago, Dao Shraddha Tathasadhu Sangha, the different stages. But where did Rupa Goswami get that? You begin with faith, and then when your faith, your appreciation based on some experience of devotional service, association, then you want to associate with devotees, and then in that association, the experience of Krishna consciousness becomes more real. And then that becomes your goal. You adopt the practices to actually achieve perfection in that. And then gradually, from that practice, the inspiration comes to give up those things which have no value to serving Krishna, and you become fixed, etc. Well, that's outlined right in the Bhagavatam itself in the second chapter, when Sita Goswami, Sita Goswami answers the questions of the sages of Namisharanya. What is the absolute and ultimate good? What is the essence of scripture? And he explains his devotional service. And then he explains step by step how it works. And the life of Narada Muni also exemplifies how this process works step by step. So now he's just about to achieve perfection. This particular verse is just before he achieves the perfectional stage, and he's chanting and hearing, becoming purified, fully satisfied, humble, non-envious. The purport, the life of a sincere devotee of the Lord, that's explained in a nutshell. I love when Prabhupada used that. In a nutshell, by Narada Muni, by his personal example. Such a devotee, after his initiation by the Lord or his bona fide representative, takes very seriously chanting of the glories of the Lord and traveling all over the world so that others may also hear the glories of the Lord, to taste and to distribute. Such devotees have no desire for material gain. They are conducted by one single desire, to go back to Godhead. This awaits them in due course on quitting the material body, because they have the highest aim of life, going back to Godhead. They are never envious of anyone, nor they are proud of being eligible to go back to Godhead. Their only business is to chant and remember the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord, and according to personal capacity to distribute the message for others' welfare without motive of material gain. One devotee wrote me how the gist of it is, and it's so painful when Prabhupada describes, you know, perfection, a single desire, go back to Godhead, very seriously, at initiation, very seriously, chanting the glories of the Lord. And it's painful because we're living in the world of the modes of material nature. We're living in the world of the shapes, sounds, and forms of passion and ignorance that are constantly, I don't know what the word is, I need to, constantly intruding on our consciousness forcefully. That's what the modes of nature are. The modes of nature are the sentiments or desires, the varieties of sentiments and of fruit of desires. And they can be categorized in three basic ways. Ignorance, the desire for lethargy of sleep, passion, the desire, you know, the desire for intense fruit of longing and sensual experience, goodness, the desire for peacefulness and knowledge. And the external environment, everything is in the modes. That's what it means. The external environment is in the shapes of desires. Everything is in a shape of a particular desire. And as Prabhupada mentions, just like primary colors, from those three colors, you can make unlimited shades. So everything, if you look at it, everything in your environment is an impetus to enjoy the world in a particular way, according to the modes. So an intelligent person, you know, he tries to cultivate the shapes, the sounds, the forms of goodness to make him peaceful so he can transcend this world. So we see in this world, and we're in America right now, and now, the internet, It's as Prabhupada said, the modern world, Prabhupada was speaking, 50, 60 years ago, is surcharged with opposition to spiritual life. What is opposition? It's the culture of passion and ignorance. The sounds, the sights, creating the impressions and desires in the consciousness to be a non-devotee, to be the enjoyer and the controller. We're struggling with that. And then we see, very easily, take seriously the chanting of the glories. Our only business, chant. And what to speak of the modern society and the demands it puts on. It creates the desires in one's heart for so many things that you have to work so hard for. Prabhupada said, simple living and high thinking. We have so many needs increased. I remember when I grew up, I remember my family, I remember clear as day, on I think Saturday or Sunday morning, there was only one little television with a very, very small screen. We didn't watch that much television. And I remember every Saturday or Sunday morning, we watched two shows, and we couldn't wait for it. Andy's Gang and Crusader Rabbit. Those over 50 may know what I'm talking about. But it was, and we had one car for the whole family. And it was one phone. So the needs have been increased so much. And for those needs, you have to work for it so hard. Boy, do we need Kripa. Do we need mercy. Anyway, so Prabhupada, he says, only business, but he says, according to our personal capacity. So there was some relief. Some relief, according to our personal capacity. Anyway, Prabhupada. So now what happens is, and these next verses, which I'll cover today, now we're going to see the full perfection. After that verse I read about chanting and hearing, then we know all of a sudden he becomes liberated. And the verse said he became freed from those attachments and material taints. There's the problem. He had a material taint, and now he was completely purified in due course of time because he was absorbed in thinking of Krishna. That's the process of purification. And with this hearing, Jiva Goswami mentions the Bhakti Sambhava hearing. You know, what is the process of Shravana? contacting the name, quality, forms, and pastimes of Supreme Lord with the ear. And that's absorbing. Brings out the devotion, the desire, and when he's free of attachments and free from all material taints, he met with death. Boom. And the beautiful metaphor, as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. The lightning comes, the illumination completely. And now we're up to today's verse. And he's explaining this, Narada saying, and he having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the material body, made five material elements, and thus all inquired fruitive results of work and karma stop. So Narada saying, the Lord promised, the Lord delivered. He told me, and I had faith in his message. And I took up that message. He told me, you're not complete in service, which means the attitude of service. And therefore, there's still some material attachment, and you should chant and hear the glories of the Lord. And he took it up. And it works. It's true. It's true. There's also somewhere in because this verse is very much like in the Bhagavatam, there's a verse that describes when one becomes liberated from the attachment to the body of the knot in the heart, the false ego, by this process of devotional service. And I don't remember the commentary by Jiva Goswami, but he describes that, you know, until perfection, perhaps, two doubts will remain. I'm not exactly sure about this, but something like this. Two doubts will remain. You'll have the doubt, can I do it? Can I achieve it? Is it real? And is it true? Some slight doubt. But now, he had that faith, and based on that faith, he executed the process, and now he's just telling Vyasadeva, it works. What is the Vedas? The Vedas, really, there's one message in the Vedas. You have to become free from false ego. The Vedas is presented in the material world. Why? Because people are bound here by false ego, ahankara, the conception that I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. The Vedas are meant that's the message of the Vedas. Get rid of the false ego. That's not my point, but I'll go on anyway. But having awarded a transcendental body, he quit the body. So now here's perfection. How does that perfection happen? It happens by devotional service. And the very nice example is given here in the purport. I like that. It's like the touchstone, which transforms iron. The influence of touchstone. It turns iron into gold. And this analogy of iron and gold is given in different places to show how something is basically, there's just a transformation in an element. It maintains its same core substance. Gold is metal, iron is metal. But there's a transformation. There's a transformation. And the transformation happens by devotional service. When you become surcharged with transcendental qualities by engaging in devotional service, this transformation happens because the covering of the soul, and it begins with the ahankara, I am the controller, and I am, is due to the desire not to be a devotee, not to surrender to God, to be the enjoyer and the controller. That particular desire I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. That particular desire puts us in the material world. Because we're not the enjoyer and controller, God can only fulfill our desire to be the enjoyer and controller by putting us in illusion, by his energy, the illusory energy. So as long as that desire is there to be the enjoyer and controller, we will be under God's illusory energy that allows us to have that experience. When one practices devotional service, which means he absorbs his consciousness in the Supreme Absolute Truth, one's attraction and desire for God and to be God's servant begins to arise in the heart. In other words, the attraction for what we actually are arises in the heart. And it's so nice to be satisfied with what we are because it is the thing that is most easily accessible. We can't be the enjoyer and controller. If we want to be the enjoyer and controller, we're in competition for a position that is already held. And therefore, we're not satisfied. You want to be the servant of Krishna. It's accessible because everyone can be the servant of Krishna. But only one person can be the enjoyer and controller. So as soon as you want to be as soon as you have that ahankar and a desire to be the enjoyer and controller, then you're never satisfied. Because no matter how high you reach, there's always someone material above you, and there's certainly someone spiritually above you. So so here Narada is experiencing this, that he quits the body, and thus all acquired karma finishes. Because what is karma? In the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it says karma is defined as the consciousness by which one gets a material body. And that's the desire to enjoy and control. And that's finished by bhakti. That's why bhakti is the topmost yoga. Yoga means what? Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. Yoga means to stop the mind. What is the mind? The mind is a repository of desires. Desires based on what? Based on the false ego, based on the desire to be the enjoyer and controller. That's what karma is. That's what the mind is. So when one develops attraction for God and therefore intensely wants to serve him, then there's no material mind. There's no karma. So this is what happens. Narada is experiencing this, and he's explaining. Now we'll read the rest of the verses here. 29. Kalpanta idam adhaya shayanem pat idandita shishishor anupranam vivishentar aham bhavo. At the end of the millennium, when the personality of Godhead, Narayan, lay down within the water of devastation, Brahma began to enter into him along with all creative elements, and I also entered through his breathing. So this change is a change of consciousness, and it can be done even within the present body. This is what happened to Narada. It's a change. And now, at the end of the millennium, I think that says Kalpa, what is it, Brahma's day, 4,300,000 years, the end of Brahma's day. He enters into him. And this is, again, these verses now are the perfection. What's the full perfection? The full perfection is that vayam dvitiya binivesita syat ishadute asyavivaryo smite. What happens? Ishad upe tasya. This is the illusion. Ishad upe tasya. You turn away from God. Pariyo, what is it? Ishadu petasya bihariyo smriti. And when you turn away from God, you turn away from yourself. Because what we are is in relationship to God. You don't want God, then you have to, you have to forget yourself. You have to, and if you forget yourself, you have to assume another identity. And what's that identity? It's the body. And from that arises, from that turning away from God, that turning away from ourself arises. It can only arise of an illusion. And the illusion is full of duality and full of fear. That's the material condition. But Narada is free from that because he only wants to serve Krishna. And therefore, as he's turned fully towards Krishna, and therefore fully desires to be himself, he becomes completely free from illusion and begins to realize his eternal nature. And with the eternal nature comes an eternal body. And this is what happens here. And Prabhupada quotes, as it said in the birth of activities of the Lord are transcendental, and according to authorized opinion, the birth and activities of devotees are transcendental. Just imagine, think how much anxiety can be relieved by having an eternal body. Or from the other way, think of how much anxiety we have because we identify with something temporary. Therefore, we're always in there's always duality. Why? Because anything we enjoy is equally mixed with the fear that we will lose it, and we will lose it for sure. This is the duality of the material world. You become attached to something, and the amount you become attached to it is the amount you're going to suffer when you lose it. And if what you're attached to is nasate vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate sutaha, if what you're attached to is temporary and therefore not real, there will always be that anxiety. I'm born in a very low birth, New York City, let this speak, kosher, butcher, vamsa, family. So, but I remember somehow, I remember when I was young, I remember this as clear as day. I remember exactly where it was, exactly the street. I remember what it looks like. I know I was before 5 years old, and I started to think of my future. What will my future be like? I started to think of my future. As I started to think of my future, somehow or other, that future was death. That future was death. And when your future is death, and anything you enjoy is mixed with duality, because it'll be taken away. But here, in this section, his full perfection, this is it. He's transcendental like the Lord. He has an eternal spiritual body. And how many problems are caused in the fear of death? Our illustrious godbrother, Sridhar Swami, Prabhupada's disciple, he used to have that sticker on his briefcase, life is tough and then you die. So Prabhupada writes here, his appearance and disappearance are practically on the same level of Lord. The Lord and his devotee are therefore simultaneously one and different as spiritual. They belong to the same category of transcendence. After 4,300,000,000 solar years, text 30, when Brahma awoke to create again by the will of the Lord, all the rishis like Marichi, Ankita, Atri, and so on were created from the transcendental body of the Lord, and I also appeared with them. Prabhupada writes, very simple analogies explains it clearly. This means that Narada appears in the same transcendental body just as a man awakes from sleep in the same body. So he appears and disappears, his own transcendental body. The perfectional state is there, and basically perfectional state means you have an internal condition. In other words, Paul Krishnamurti once shared with me an insight. He said, this is about 15, 20 years ago, he said, you know, in the future we always think it'll get better, but it gets worse. On the material platform, we always think, you know, give me another year, I'll get it together. Give me another 2 years, I'll be the controller enjoyer. I'll have the money I need. I'll have this, I'm working for it, but it'll happen. Let's see if I can get that situation. But neither he has it. So they're all based on this eternal. In other words, the perfect situation has been attained, and the perfect situation is happiness, and happiness is pure love, and that's the nature of the soul. So when one becomes free, when one realizes God. And becomes free from ignorance. He sees God. He sees himself. He experiences relationship with God, which is rasa, or purified pleasure. Rasa vaisaha, that's the eternal situation. So Narada now has this spiritual body. And he's traveling, and the activities are the same. The consciousness is different. That's the process of Raghunga Bhakti. It means what? You follow the perfected souls. You aspire to be a perfected soul at an advanced stage. You aspire to be a perfected soul. And what's the activities of the perfected soul? It's to serve Krishna. And what are the activities here? It's to serve Krishna. If she's listening, she'll be embarrassed, but I'll say anyway. One time I went to Gita Nagari. And I arranged, and if Bhakta Henry is listening, he also remembers that we arranged to take Tamal Krishnamurti to Gita Nagari. This is the last time he spoke Radha Damodar. And Henry arranged the Lincoln Town car, and we picked up Tamal Krishnamurti in Manhattan, and we brought him down to the cabin. He saw Gita Nagari. And then he saw Mother Kalini, and what was she doing? He said, he saw she was taking care of the cows and worshiping Radha Damodar. So he said, what's the difference between that and your perfected state? When you're perfected, what will you be doing? You'll be taking care of the cows and you'll be worshiping Radha Damodar. And you'll be doing it with full love. And that's the perfected stage. The only difference is the consciousness, in one sense. So he goes on to explain, since then, by the grace of the Almighty Vishnu, I traveled everywhere without restriction, both in the transcendental world and in the three divisions of the material world. This is because I am fixed in unbroken devotional service. So there's no restriction. In the material world, when you want to be the desire and controller, there's a difference between your desire and what actually happens and what you actually, you want to be the enjoyer, you want to be the controller. There's a difference between where you're at and what you want. And that difference is you're restricted by the modes of material nature. You're restricted by your karma. You want this. This happens. It's never perfectly lined up. And therefore, there's so much frustration. But here, he's able to move without restriction. He's not under the modes because he's surrendered to Krishna. And the mode, and he surrendered to the idea and the feeling and the sentiment of the soul. I want to love Krishna. I want to be his unalloyed servant. And therefore, the Supreme Lord facilitates that desire. and he's at restriction. And when you want to be independent of Krishna, which is an illusion, you're covered by the modes to fulfill that illusion. And therefore you're restricted by the modes. And as long as you keep that desire to be independent of God, you're under those modes and you're restricted. So he's fixed in unbroken devotional service. He wants to be an unalloyed servant of the Supreme Lord. He doesn't need the divine energy of God to put him in the illusion that he's anything other than the unalloyed servant of Krishna. That the illusion, this world, is following our desire. You give up that desire and you surrender to Krishna, then you're free from the influence of that energy that gives you the illusion you're separate from him. So he's unrestricted. He's free from the modes. This is his defective. And then he sees it as what? Anugraha. It's mercy. His mercy. I'm not restricted. I want to serve. And how do I want to serve? I want to spread Krishna consciousness. I want to, without inhibition, without attachment, I want to chant the glories of the Supreme Lord. And that facility is given fully. It says, in the Narada, another point it says about Narada, is this purport? Yeah. There's different sages. It mentions Angira, Ricci, etc. They also enter into the Lord's body. In the same body they come out. And they're unrestricted in the three divisions of the material world. But they can't enter into the spiritual world. The rishis, as above mentioned, cannot enter into the transcendental world like Narada. This fact is disclosed in the Nisringa Purana, because Narada is the prime authority for transcendental devotional service of the Lord. All the great authorities in the devotional service of the Lord follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni, in the order of the Narada Bhakti Sutra, and therefore all the devotees of the Lord are unhesitatingly qualified to enter into the kingdom of the world. I'll do one more verse for today, and then I have to go off to the next class. I'm just wondering if I'm still here. Yeah, okay. Oh, people are here. Okay. Deva dhatam imam vinam swara brahma vibhushitam Muchayitva Hari Katam Kayamanas Charam Yaham. And thus I travel, constantly singing the transcendental message of the glories of the Lord, vibrating this instrument called a Veena, which is charged with transcendental sound and which was given to me by Lord Krishna. So he's given this gift by the Supreme Lord. It's described, the purport says, in the Linga Purana. He's given this instrument to glorify the Supreme Lord. And it's a transcendental sound. And it's identical with Lord Krishna. It's given to that purpose, and he uses it to that purpose. So it's so pleasing to the Supreme Lord. And a broadcast without any tinge of material iniquity. It's pure kirtan. So this is Narada Muni's perfection. Okay, I'm going to stop now. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, you. Yeah. Hare Bol.
Hare Bol. Well, I did have a couple, but when you were saying that things are made in the modes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, on the one hand, I do understand that the modes refer to our selfish desires. But
what's
then,
that?
I understand that our modes refer, the modes refer to our selfish desires.
Yeah.
Right? But then when you use, it's difficult to understand how inanimate objects
okay.
are
right.
made in the modes.
Right. Well, it's...
Especially when you use them also in Krishna's service.
Right.
Then it
but,
becomes more complicated.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It's... I understand your question. I think I'll repeat again. Yeah, there's inanimate objects. And I described it composed of the modes. So, you know, how can they... You know, I think the sense is like this. There's particular sounds that inspire within us ignorance, the sounds that inspire within us passion, the sounds that, let's take the sense object of sound, the sound that inspire within us goodness. And someone told me this, that in the Port Authority of New York, I guess, what, 15, 20 years ago, I told this story many times, they wanted to clean up the Port Authority, so they kept, they would get the bums, what they call them, and they would drag them out, but they kept on kind of sneaking back in. And then they played classical music, which is kind of, you know, music more in the mode of goodness. And they weren't attracted, and they left. Something like that. And you can imagine if there are people in mode of goodness and you wanted to get rid of them, then you would put in, you know, hardcore music in the mode of ignorance or something, and people would leave. It's just like that. People are attracted to particular modes. You know, I remember when I was young, I was very much conditioned to the city. And my mother would, she wanted me to visit my cousin and my aunt, and they lived out in Long Island in Great Neck Estates, you know, on the water, and it was, you know, I just wasn't attracted. So there, each, like, for example, cleanliness is the mode of goodness. It inspires peacefulness in contact with that object. That's the shape of goodness. So sounds are like that. Foods are like that. You can see some people, if you give them sattvic food, they wouldn't be attracted. It would have to be incredibly hot, incredibly this, you know, incredibly tamasic. You know, I mean, if people are attracted by it, there's taste, they're in the modes. It means that, so now when a devotee approaches something and he loses the spirit for enjoyment, in other words, when he starts to engage something in Krishna's service, then he stops seeing the inspiration of that object in terms of his own enjoyment, and he sees it in terms of Krishna's enjoyment. So even though it still has the inspiration to invoke a spirit of enjoyment, he sees it in relationship to God. But therefore, you would definitely... try to offer things in goodness to God rather than the other modes, generally speaking. Or anyway, you would see it in a different way. A Paramahamsa, what does a Paramahamsa mean? A Paramahamsa means, you know, what does it say? That the modes are competing within us. So what does that mean? That means according to our past karma, there's passion, ignorance, and goodness are competing. And according to those modes, a different desire will become prominent in us. According to, you know, ignorance, a particular desire, passion, a particular, and we see that within ourselves all the time. There's a competition of the modes. And therefore, an intelligent person tries to nourish goodness, which is the platform of transcendence, by constructing his environment according to goodness. He prefers the country. He prefers the early hours of the morning. He prefers a particular type of food, a particular type of person. Therefore, to nourish that goodness, because goodness is the platform of detachment, of pensiveness, of enlightenment, of clarity of thought, which are conducive for spiritual life. But generally, that you the way you, so Paramahamsa, he doesn't have any modes. There's no desires in there, so therefore when he's in contact with the object, it doesn't have that impact. And because we do have the modes, we're very careful what modes we associate with, because if we associate with lower modes, they'll increase passion and ignorance, which are less conducive to spiritual life. And if we have to engage the modes, we make a conscious decision, we develop. That's what's so nice about preaching. What preaching means is that you begin to see the world as Krishna, because you want to intensely use it in Krishna's service. So because that's your objective, then you tend to not as much get affected by the modes, because you're having an intense desire to use everything in Krishna's service. So therefore, because that desire is there, and because when you use things in Krishna's service, this is the essence of karma yoga, you tend to see things as Krishna's. And therefore you also become free from illusion, because what is illusion? What is Maya? Maya means to see things as separate from Krishna. So when you use things for Krishna, you tend to see them as Krishna. And therefore, when you see them as Krishna's, then you're seeing, you're developing a spiritual vision. And you become, and therefore, you're not affected by the influence of the modes as much. Because you may see something, but it's a completely different desire. And you use this for Krishna. Gail, anything else? I knew you would have something else.
No, I just want to clarify that no matter what mode your body, no matter which mode dominates your body, and maybe even, regardless of your karma, if you regularly surround yourself in an environment that is of another particular mode, you can change the mode that is dominant in your body.
I'll just give you a practical example. If someone keeps clean, it keeps things very clean, and if someone rises in the morning because the morning is in goodness, no matter what his mode is, he'll feel more in goodness, which means he'll be more peaceful, he'll be more detached, and he'll have a clearer vision of things. But because of his modes, he may appreciate the morning, and he, you know, in other ways, may not construct his environment in that way. But it definitely has an effect on the consciousness. Mm-hmm. In other words, our consciousness affects our environment affects our consciousness. Mm-hmm. So they have to just a brahminical culture. Prabhupada taught a brahminical culture. What is a brahminical culture? A brahminical culture means how to keep the environment in goodness as much as possible. So even if one is in the city, then he can keep his apartment in a higher mode. And then, of course, when we put Krishna into that environment and focus on him, then we develop even a sense of transcendence. But generally to transcend, you have to go through the modes. So therefore, there's a culture of goodness. It's very, very complicated because we're mixed in our modes and certain things predominate in different ways, but that's generally a very important science. And it is, in terms of executing spiritual life practically in the world, we have to be a little bit careful. And we have choices. You know, the media, the entertainment, the computers, the things, you know. There's so much that can infuse within us the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. And that will make it much more difficult for us to get a taste for Krishna consciousness. Why? Because distraction. The mind will be in distraction. It'll be distraction. We won't be able to chant in the proper way. So there's a way to regulate your life as much as possible, even if you're working in the world. You know, the loads there, but by knowledge and by you see things in a particular way. You develop a Krishna conscious vision, a Krishna conscious attitude. And if that's there, then you tend to see the world in a different way. And therefore, be less affected by it. Anyway, it's a deep subject, Gail. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Any other questions or even comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hari Bol. Thank you.
Maharaj, you know, I have a question, you know.
Hello? Hi, Bo. Nandadula? Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to ask a question?
Maharaj, I didn't finish. Can you hear me, Maharaj?
I can hear you now.
Okay, Maharaj, my question is very, very quick now. Wonderfully described about the change of Narad from childhood to the transcendental body. But it took for him two lifetimes. My question is that Ajamil, in one lifetime, he went back to Vaikuntha, and other, like Jarabharat and Muchukunda and other illustrious devotees, they took three lifetimes or sometimes two lifetimes. Is it Krishna's prerogative to give each one in a different way?
Well, first of all, I'm trying to, first of all, I'm not sure we got it right with Narada. Narada's first life that's described was Upavahana. Then he got born as Narada, okay? And then he practiced, then what happened to Narada? He practiced Krishna consciousness, right? And the Lord said, I won't see you now, right? And then he chanted in here, heard, right? And then he got the body in that lifetime, as lightning it describes, as lightning and illumination. He was awarded a transcendental body. And then, so what happened to him, he was awarded a transcendental body. The point was, is the body that he achieved was transcendental. And then when the millennium came and he went into the body of the Supreme Lord, he came back out as the same. Because his service is to stay in the world and preach. So he got that transcendental body in that one lifetime also, Narada Muni. It's just once he got that body, it didn't change. And
okay.
Yeah, and in terms of Ajamil, his story was that I described that before, that he chanted the holy name but without affection. So although he could, there was some type of purification, he didn't go back immediately to Ajamil. He had to practice further. So he also had to practice further. Ajamil didn't go back immediately. His benediction by chanting Namavas is that the Yamadutas couldn't take him. It's not that he went back directly. And then he practiced. So that's how, So I already got it in this lifetime.
Okay.
Okay?
I thought, you know, he had to, yes, so he didn't have to wait, you know, for another lifetime.
He didn't have to, he got his transcendental body. He died, and he was born as Narada Muni, and then after 4,300,000 years, he went back into it's described, he when the material creation wound up, then he came out again as the same Narada Muni. I believe that's what it says. It says, there's some difference. It says, having been awarded a transcendental body, then he entered through his breathing, and he came out. Now, then it says, until I'm created from the transcendental, and I appeared along with them. So I don't know when the exact Narada Muni with the Veena came. But it definitely describes that he got a transcendental body. It says that. I'm going to look at the Sanskrit right now. Having been awarded, shudham. It says shudham bhagavatam tanam, a body fit for associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was awarded a body fit for associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he got that when he died. Okay, so he didn't achieve it in that life, but when he died, he achieved that. But it's the same thing. He was ready. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Any other questions? Anybody like to say Hare Krishna today?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It's Samir Nimai.
Hare Bo. Jai. Thank you.
Thank you so much for class.
Thank you so much for listening.
Last Wednesday, and I was very much in separation.
What's that? Anything?
That was no good.
What?
I missed last Wednesday's class, and it was very much I hadn't heard in too long. 1 week
okay.
Is long.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you
so much. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Shastra Das.
Shastra, so nice you can join us.
Yes, Jai Advaita Swami and Gopi Paranandan were here, but they had to go up at 10.
Okay.
They all listened.
Okay.
Yeah, how'd it go, Maharaj?
Who's that?
Can you guess?
Who?
It's your old nemesis.
Who's that?
Umapati Swami.
Umapati Swami, my nemesis, my good friend. Would you like to make any comments?
No, I think you said everything pretty nicely.
Yeah. Wow. I feel so humbled, you know, that such an audience there in Rehoboth Beach, Jai Advaita Swami, Gopi Pranadana, and yourself are listening. Did you get that little article without commenting it on it now that I sent you?
That letter by the two guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
Okay, we won't comment on it now, but we'll keep in touch, and very nice, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for the great class.
Thanks.
Hare Bo.
Hare Bo. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for a wonderful class with what I needed this morning.
Thank you, Mother Indrani. Very nice. I'm going to go to Gita Nagari probably around July 4th.
I'm coming in on the 5th.
Oh. What time on the 5th?
I think my flight gets in about 1 o'clock in Harrisburg on the 5th. And I'll be there the whole month.
Oh, boy. I wish I would have known that beforehand. I'm not sure I'll be... Well... Okay. Let's see what will happen. Maybe we can link up. If you can come a day earlier, that's fine too. But anyway, how do you go? I'll have to come back. That means I'll have to come back. Okay.
All right. I'll be
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Giri Govardhan.
Hare Bol. Gogol is the new age Chakradam.
Jai. Thank you for the class.
We're getting the DVDs ready for the festival?
Yes, but I need to speak with you about that and the altar.
What's that?
I need to speak with you about that and the altar.
Okay. Well, probably what I'm going to do is I'll call you in about a half hour. Is that okay?
Yes, that would be good.
If Jai Bala allows that. Okay.
Hare okay, Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hi, Bob Maharaj. It's Vegavati.
I know. So, well, I hope I'll see you in Gitanagari also.
Yes.
Maybe.
That's great. Yes, definitely.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna,
that?
Guru Maharaj. This is Nitya Seva.
Oh, Hare Bol.
Thank you for your class.
Okay, I'm going to come up to Boston the week after Panihati.
Yeah, we are looking forward to seeing you there.
And around that time, maybe come up to Kennebunk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah, we'll change that. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gopakishore.
Really, are you in Rehoboth?
We're on our way home.
What?
We're on our way home, but we went to Sastra's 2 days ago.
Did you go to his house?
Yes. Yes.
Did you meet him pretty Swami?
Yes.
Did he speak to you?
Yep, he read us some early Prabhupada pastimes.
Oh, really?
Very nice.
Really? With all the kids?
Yeah, all the kids. all the family.
Which family is there?
Kirti, Radharaja, Polony, Botanya, and us. So.
Wow, that's nice. So that was kind of a special extra feature of the camping with the families?
Yes, we all went camping.
So that was nice, huh?
Thank you for arranging that for us. That was
That's the that's one of my retreats there. You can see why I like it, huh?
Yeah, very nice.
Okay. Well, maybe
thanks
next
to
year.
Sastra.
What?
Thanks to Sastra. I know he's listening to me.
Yeah, I hope so.
Maybe
next year we can coordinate it and who knows, maybe even have like a little festival in the whole bit or something.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
This is Henry Maharaj.
Henry, Hare Bol.
Hare Bol, thank you for the book.
Oh, great, great.
I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, it's a nice cover, isn't it? I mean,
the cover's spectacular.
Okay, you know, and I got a nice call from Bhakti True Swami, because when I found out he was at your house, I also sent the book there too, so that was really a treat for me.
Just last night he was telling us that he was reading it and enjoying it very much.
Oh, yeah, I don't know, this gives me great pleasure, you know?
God.
Did he leave already? Did he go to the meeting for some? Okay. And Johnny Pai is also?
He's also gone.
Okay. Thank you, Henry. So, you remember when we drove to Mall Krishnamurti to Gitanagari?
Very well. I'll never forget.
That was his last time to see Radha-Dhamma. That was a treat. Thank you, Henry.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Carl and Stella.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.
Great. We're gonna have to now. I got a few advanced copies, and 2 days ago, all the copies arrived in New York or someplace, and we'll have to mail you a copy of the
looking
book. Thank you so much. Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.
Hi. Very nice to see you. Anybody else? This is fun today. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Bharati.
Bharati, Hare Bol. Thank you for medicine. Okay, we'll end from now, and I'll be on my way. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.